our Mr. Fix-It from Dunbar Lumber, Ken Priestley. Ken, we were just talking about Dave Hackstall, and you know, when a new coach comes into an organization, now it's a bit different with the expansion team and no players, but you know, what was the first thing you wanted to hear from a new coach?
You're in the starting lineup. or you're not scratched. One of the two,
you're,
right?
You're on Mario's line, yeah.
Yeah, I'm on Mario's line, starting left winger tonight. Yeah, that'd be great. You know what? New coaches always are just like a breath of fresh air sometimes. Obviously, the only reason why you get a new coach is because something went wrong with the previous team, or they didn't feel that it was going in the right direction. So, you know, honestly, I think the first thing to happen is to look at the coaching situation and then deal with the players if that's it later on. But a new coach comes in and it's a breath of fresh air for everybody, and everybody's, you know, I think a little bit eager to go.
You obviously were a part of some, you know, in-state rivalries, Pittsburgh and Philly. You know, the Sabres probably had a pretty good rivalry, probably with the Leafs or maybe the Rangers, something. But as we look at the Seattle-Vancouver setup as it moves forward, you know, how big do you think this will be, and how important is it maybe for the Canucks to have that geographical rival that they haven't necessarily had to date, you know, outside of crossing over the Rockies?
Yeah, I think it's going to be fantastic. I really do. I mean, I played in the Western Hockey League with Victoria, and every time that we made the trip down to Seattle or Portland, anywhere down that area in Spokane, their fans were exceptional. I mean, they were at the junior level, they were crazy. And it was a hostile environment every time you go into those arenas. So I can only imagine what it's going to be like at the pro level. Two NHL teams, you know, honestly separated by 2 hours, and it makes for a very unique thing, but it's going to be exciting. I think that Ron Francis, and having played with him and for a couple of years, I think he's a very, very smart man. He's a very, very hockey knowledgeable guy. He's going to hire the right people, and I'm excited to see what kind of team he puts on the ice.
What were the teams that, you know, for as far as rivalries that you always got up for that really excited you?
Well, when I was in Buffalo, it was Toronto. Toronto, but back in those days, you played Toronto either once at home and two away, or two away and once, you know, all that kind of stuff. So you didn't really see them very often. But obviously, being Ontario on one side of the bridge and New York State on the other, Toronto was a heated rivalry. It was a lot of fun. More in your division, Buffalo would play Montreal, and that seemed to be a rivalry that it always produced playoffs. You always met in the first round of the playoffs, or even in divisional games, they always meant something. Playing the Rangers in Buffalo was a key thing too, because obviously New York and Buffalo, New York, and New York, New York, they go back and forth quite hard. Pittsburgh and Philly was a great one. That speaks for itself. I mean, it's always been a battle. I personally love coming back to Vancouver. It wasn't a rivalry. It wasn't anything. I just liked playing in my hometown. That was a big game for me. But if I was to say in Buffalo, Montreal, Buffalo were big games. Those were the real exciting ones to play in.
You mentioned Philly there, Ken, and, Philadelphia fans are a special breed, and I've had the good fortune of travel to that city a few times for work, and whether it's Phillies baseball, Flyers hockey, I didn't get to see the Eagles play, but they're a different breed, aren't they? Tough, vocal. What is it like to go into Philly and play with those crazy fans around you?
Well, we played in the Spectrum, so I never played in their new one. But when we played in the Spectrum, it smelled like 1972. It was nuts. Like you walked into that rink in the morning skate, and you could hear it. You could feel it. You knew that, you know, you were just, the game was just going to be a grind, and it was a physical game. The fans just never let up. I mean, I'm, you know, fortunate for me, the Pittsburgh side of things, we were pretty much on the right side of the game rather than the wrong side of the game. There was a couple of games though that I remember that we were down, and they just don't stop. The fans just keep going, much like the Island. I mean, the Island recently has been those fans. I mean, I wanted to be at that game last night. That atmosphere was exceptional. I mean, you could hear you could feel the place rocking from Vancouver. Being a home team in that environment is huge. And, you know, in Philadelphia too, when those fans get behind their team, it's a goal. It's definitely an added benefit to the home team for sure.
Was Nassau top five to play in?
You know what? I was an Islander fan when I was growing up. And obviously I was in that that age group where they won four straight Stanley Cups, and you know, the Edmonton Oilers and everybody of the groups came after I was already kind of established my favorite team. Mike Bossy, Trotche, you know, Tinelli, Gillies, all those guys, Billy Smith. That was the team that I grew up with. And my first sort of experience in Nassau Coliseum was excellent. It was awesome. I mean, I loved it. It was an old building. It's much like the Coliseum. It was an old building. It didn't, it didn't take much, to quiet the building, but if you got it, if the home team got it going, it was loud. And it was a lot of fun for me to play in for a number of different reasons. And I scored there one time, which was a great feeling for me. So, you know, Nassau was a very cool experience. And it's too bad that it has to go. But new and improved is the way we're going now.
Ken, we were fortunate enough to have Daniel Sedin on today. Yesterday, obviously, the Sedins were announced that they're rejoining the organization. Just your impression of that move and what it can do for the hockey team, as these two individuals whose, you know, modus operandi or at their core is hard work, determination, do things the right way. When you add two people like that to your organization, how important is it? And just your thoughts.
I think it's a win-win for both. I mean, I didn't expect Daniel and Henry to be out for many years. I think hockey was too much in their DNA, right? They had something to offer whatever team they were going to, you know, maybe see fit, maybe back home in Sweden or, you know, potentially the Vancouver Canucks. Them being in front office doesn't add anything but a positive. I mean, they're just look the way they sort of handle themselves off the ice. Look at the way they handled themselves on the ice. They were leaders, both of them. They contributed in every aspect of the game. Off the ice, their reputation is second to none. I think they bring something that maybe the Canucks haven't had for a long time. And even if it's for just a little bit of guidance here and there, everybody needs to hear something different. Whether it be a positive or a negative. And for those two to come back to an association and give you maybe not always what you want to hear, but just to give you their opinion, you know, I think is a benefit to the team and is only going to make it a better program for sure.
Ken Priestley, our Mr. Fix-It, joining us here, as he does every Thursday on Vic and the Boss. When you were playing and you were looking at guys and you know, people start talking about their post-playing careers and whatnot, could you tell which guys were going to be coaches, which guys were going to be execs? Like, I'm just curious if there's personality traits between the roles that you felt certain guys were suited for different jobs.
You know what? I was thinking about that earlier in the day, but When I played at the beginning, all I wanted to do was play. I never wanted to be that side, that coaching side, the management side. It never crossed my mind that's what I would like to do one day. But I definitely think that this day and age's player has that in them all the time, right? I think they're always thinking. They're obviously in the heat of the moment at playing. And they're concentrating on just being a player. But I think sometimes when you get later into your career, you know, these guys still have a ton of drive and still have a ton of stuff to give back to the game, knowledge, just experience. And then there's a lot of guys now that I know that are getting back into the scouting side. There's a lot of guys getting back into coaching, whether it be in the minors or at the NHL level right away. There's obviously a few that I've played for now that are or played with that are GMs in the league. Some are owners in the league. So I think that this day and age's player, it pops into their probably head a lot more than it did, say, back when I was playing. But, you know, it's fun to see the ex-player get more involved in a franchise now, because I just think that a hockey mind like Daniel and Henrik is just so valuable, because sometimes, you know, these maybe GMs, maybe owners, they you know, GMs are a little different than an owner, but maybe the owner has a little bit too much interest in it, and you got to let the hockey guys do it and see what happens, because when you get these guys that are hockey based guys and they know how it's done from the ice and now from the head office, it can be exciting.
Ken, what are the characteristics do you think make a former player a successful executive?
I think just the attention to detail is one. I think the willingness to hire around you, to hire around you to have a voice to someone who, don't be afraid if somebody makes a decision and it's not your decision, to give that person credit, to surround yourself with people who have again experience, to have yourself or surround yourself with people who have the drive that you do. And it's always refreshing, I think, to have a group of people running something, whether it be a lumber company or a hockey team, that are striving for the same thing. And that's just to be the best that you can possibly be. And, you know, it helps in a team environment. It helps to have a team environment running the show as well.
Ken Priestley, our Mr. Fix-It, joining us. We'll get you out on this. Talking about the game tonight, Habs and Golden Knights, and the Golden Knights look like they're really struggling to generate something against Montreal. When you're playing in this matchup and you get tagged to go over the boards, and it's a matchup that's not working, how frustrating that can be when you start to come over for your shift.
You know what? I don't think you're thinking about it like that. I think that before the game, preparation, morning skate, that's when you're thinking about that kind of stuff. Like, we just got to find a way. You just got to find a way to figure out what was successful for us during the season. Obviously, the NHL regular season and NHL playoffs are two totally different games. We've seen that, not only from just the physical side of things, but, how the game is played. And sometimes, if not everybody is on the same bus, it's just very, very hard to get going. And as an offensive player, you got to get into a rhythm. And if you're not in that rhythm, you just start squeezing the stick and your legs get heavy and you just wonder if it's ever going to, you're ever going to beat that goalie. And Montreal now, they just look like they have bought in. They have all their players, every single defenseman forward, knows that what they have behind them is a great goaltender. If they can get the lead and play the system and play the game plan that they have, that they're going to be very successful. And they're frustrating teams and making it very, very difficult for Vegas to get anything going offensively. If Vegas can, get a lead, it will help them, but that's easier said than done.